All right, well, good evening, everybody. So I have two of these. And the Lord kind of changed my heart when I pulled into the parking lot. So if y'all just kind of bear with me as we find our way tonight, you know, it'll be all right. So let's turn to Luke 22 real quick, and we'll... You know, I just really don't have a whole lot of you standing up here if God's not talking, because I'm really not smart enough to say a whole lot that could help anybody. So the best I can do is just try to follow the Lord's direction, and you know, I'm grateful to be able to stand, because I know for sure where my life was taking me years ago. There was a clear crossroad in my life. And there were two paths, and I'm glad I'm on this one. And it's not by anything I've done or my goodness, but the Lord reached into a bad situation and shined a, you know, kind of put a light on me and put a mirror up to me and allowed me to see, you know, where I was headed. Because, you know, quite frankly, my bloodline, my genetic makeup is to be an alcoholic. I have a genetic propensity to be an alcoholic and get nowhere past that. Yep. That's exactly what this makeup will do for me. And I will, you know, I guess there's young people up here. I am not in a situation today where I fear that, because I know I'm kept in a place to where I don't have to take that route. So, you know, God put me in a different place, and the Bible talks about that. He talks about being grafted. The Bible talks about being grafted in. You know, the Jews were the choice people, and God chose the Jews, but they rejected Christ. And there was a grafting in of the Gentiles, and that's us. And a grafting works like this. The fruit comes from the root. Okay? So you can take a branch from a dissimilar tree, one that doesn't belong, and you can cut into the branch that has the root of the fruit that you want, and you can match those two branches up, and you can bind them together, and that tree from a dissimilar tree will bear the fruit of the roots. And the way that that's bound up, I've actually studied this a little bit in a previous lesson, but the way that that thing is bound up is you have to align what they call the vein or the vascular system of the tree. The vascular system of the two pieces have to match up. And once you bind it, you're joined at the vascular system, but the rest of it, the fleshy, the wood part, never fully binds. It never fully gains strength. So that binding is necessary. And that's a contract around that branch and holds it together. And as long as there's connection in that vascular system, there's life in that branch. But if that blood of that root gets broken, there's no life in that branch. Now, we know that once we've been grafted in, once we've accepted Christ, there's nothing that can take us out of His hands. So we know that we've always got access to that. But there's weakness around that, and it's called this flesh. And this flesh will take us places we never meant to go. And we can look in the mirror 5 years down a certain road and see somebody that we don't recognize. And that's exactly what this flesh will do for us. Did you know, I ask you a question. Have you ever been wrong? Have you ever been flat wrong when you previously thought you were flat right? Have you ever defended a position for years, only to find out years later that you weren't as smart as you thought you were? Oh, I've done that. Have you ever put your foot in your mouth? Have you ever been sickened by your own self-righteousness? Boy, I tell you, we might have to jump around a little bit here. Over in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, let's do that. Why not? It doesn't cost us any more, does it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, that heart will convince you that you know what you're doing. It'll convince you that you're right. It'll convince you you're on the right path. But who can know it? Well, I feel it in my heart. This is the right thing to do. But I hadn't checked it against the Scripture. I haven't checked it against the Spirit. I just feel it in my heart. Yeah. That'll put us in trouble. As a matter of fact, I've done things before that I felt real good about until I kind of sat on the situation for a little while. And you know, sometimes our motives that are so good turn out to be really motives of arrogance. Really motives of, well, that might get me some attention. That might make me look good. How many people in here are competitive? I'm very competitive. I've been competitive all my life. And it's real easy for me to want to win. There's a problem with wanting to win. Somebody has to lose. You know that? You know the best way I've found to win is to try to help somebody else prosper. Because the Scripture says that if we'll decrease, He can increase. And if we can be trusted with little things, He can trust us with great things. So a lot of times I've found that if I'm working to decrease myself and increase somebody else, sometimes I mess around and get a blessing that I didn't even shoot for. Because that's behavior that God can honor. But when I trust my own heart and I go for the things I want to go for, I end up putting myself in a mess. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's so easy to be wrong for a very long time and not know it. How many of you have not been wrong? That just means you're probably wrong and going to figure it out eventually, right? So you're sitting in a place of undiscovery, if that's a word. So over in Luke 22, we'll go back over there. We'll give our Bibles a little bit of a workout. You ever been in a place where you didn't feel like you fit in? Jennifer and I were in an awkward situation the other night, and it just kind of felt weird. I don't need to describe it, but it's always interesting when you just feel dissimilar, you know, to the group, or you just feel like you don't fit. We're a lot of us are a lot different in here. I mean, there's a lot of makeup in here, right? But once we're grafted in, and we're all tied into that same vascular system. And we're all feeding off of that same root, which is Jesus Christ. We start producing similar fruits, don't we? Or the same fruits. So all walks of life can come into this church. And if we're aligned around the right things, if we're aligned around the blood of Christ and around the things that we should be, then all this difference starts to feel the same. And all this different walks of life that brought us here starts to feel like, a family, because we all have a common goal. And here's the thing about family. Once you're in a family, there's going to be some disagreement. But generally, most of us don't totally throw our family away when there's disagreement. You know, when we go down to Walmart and somebody bumps our buggy, we don't quit going to Walmart, do we? I mean, I kind of do, but they always draw me back in because the prices are so good. But, you know, there's a lot of buggy bumping. I say there's a lot of buggy bumping around here because there's a lot of people. That doesn't mean that we got to separate and we got to get disenchanted with one another, because we're all aligned around one purpose, right? And if we're not, then we should probably look at ourselves and say, are we in a state of wrong? Is our heart being wicked to us? Because if all we got is energy to do this about the people at church and to, you know, do the social thing, and I'm not accusing anybody of that. I just know there's a lot of human beings here, okay? But if that's where our energy is, then it could be that our heart's a little bit deceitful. And the truth is, we're probably all guilty of it to a certain degree. And is it okay? I mean, we're family, right? I mean, I've been in this church about 20 years, and a lot of you have too. Whether you've been here 20 years, two, or 2 weeks, it doesn't matter. We're all equal here. So we get to say the truth. And the truth is, we're all humans, and humans do this stuff. And we're not doing anybody any good with that stuff. Right? Because we ought to be working to make one another win. Do you know there's enough? Well, I'm all over the place. But do you know there's enough to go around? There's no shortage of supply, of popularity, of money, of things, of whatever it is, position. God has no shortage. And He has, His hands are so big that He can give everybody a part. So when we do this stuff to lessen somebody else, we're really just lessening ourselves. Because if we build other people up, let God bless them, it doesn't take anything away from us. But boy, our human nature wants to use us to do that. So in Luke 22, verse 31, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith not fail, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." He says, Satan wants you. And the Scripture says that the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's out there lurking in the bushes, looking for ways to take us down. And Satan will do anything he can to get to us, even if he has to make us prosper to get us. Even if he has to build us up so tall that we'll crash to the ground. It's been done over the ages. Some of us will follow our genetic pattern, and we'll go straight to the gutter. We'll stay in the gutter, and we'll take our own lives down, and we'll take the generations that follow us down that way. Some of us will go there at a very low price. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I almost was it. But some of us are a whole lot more expensive for the destruction. Some of us will go prosper, get real big, and start getting high-minded, and Satan will get us that way. Either way is destroyed. It's the mirror that we have to look in. It's the Scripture, the mirror that we have to look in that tells us how to keep ourselves in a good place. So, Jesus said to Peter that Satan wants you. He's looking to take you out. And Peter said, let me find it. In verse 33, Peter said, "What do you mean, Lord? I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death." So, Peter felt like he was strong. You guys know this. You guys know the character Peter. He was the hothead, and he was quick to move. He was quick to draw his sword. He was quick to jump, and he'd probably be the person you'd want in your corner in a fight, if there wasn't time to think about it. So he was quick. He was quick about 30 seconds in, and he'd probably fight it out until the adrenaline stopped. But if there was an adrenaline rush, and then you had to wait and think about it, and now let's go get him, I think he was probably not so much, right? That's a different head you got to put on for that. So we know the story that Peter said, "I'm ready to go with you." And then later in the night, the rooster crowed on him three times, didn't it? And he sat in front of the fire, and he denied Christ. And he denied him, and he denied him, and he denied him. His heart was deceitful. His heart was wicked. And how would he know it? He had to find out the hard way, the way most of us find out, is we get that mirror of reality that you're not quite what you thought you were. How old and how many years do you have to live before that mirror stops popping up in your face? I'm not there yet. I mean, it seems like you'd figure it out after a few years. Even in our goodness, we can get self-righteous and get ourselves in a mess, can't we? Even in the work of the gospel, we can get ourselves down a track that's not fruitful for the church and for Christ. So Peter got himself in a situation where he was looking in that mirror. But you know what? That wasn't the end of the story for Peter. He goes on and represents the gospel very well. He became a much stronger preacher, a much stronger carrier of the gospel than he ever would have had that not happened. Sometimes these truths, sometimes these moments of reality allow us to figure out that we're not that strong after all. So if we're going to do something, if we're going to engage in something where that lion, that roaring lion, wants to take us out, there's only one place for us to get our strength. That's right. And that's from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to do something good, and if we want to do something real, and we want to do something that's not a delusion given to us by our heart, then we got to get our direction from one place. We need to always be checking ourselves. It's so easy to get it wrong. You know, the way we act around jealous behavior. Y'all know about jealousy? Y'all ever been jealous of something? Y'all ever had somebody that would just kind of beat you at everything? Just a little bit. I can't quite seem to get ahead of that person. They always beat me. They're always better. You know how you acted about that person? Oh, not you. I mean, you know how that person used to act about you because you used to beat them all the time? Can we connect with that? Because I wasn't getting you on the other one. You were the one that was always winning. And right, somebody else was jealous of you. Do you know how they acted? That jealous emotion is at the core of our human nature. And we do things around the emotion of jealousy and the emotion of inferiority and the emotion of I just want to belong or I just want to win. We do things around those emotions that we justify and we think they deserved it. Obviously they deserved it. But our heart's so deceitful we can't hear or see their side. They don't even know about that big story you've built up in your head about them. They don't even know about that scenario where you turned them into a villain. They're clueless to it, most likely. But that's our heart tricking us around those things. I've assigned things to people through my life that they had no clue. But, oh, I got the logic and the analytical skills, and I built up this big story around them, and I know the scenario because I got insight, because obviously I'm wise, and I know all about them. I have weighed them, and I have measured them, and I know who they are. Because I'm even spiritual. I mean, look where I'm standing. I must know, Brother Kevin. But that's that old heart talking to you. That old deceitful heart that doesn't know anything. We better figure out that we have a greater dependency on Christ than we could ever imagine. We're not as holy, we're not as good, we're not as smart, we're not as bright, we're almost as pretty as we think we are, but we don't measure up to what we think we do. And every bit of our strength and every bit of our goodness and every bit of our guidance ought to come not from this, but from this. And I got to tell you, human nature is a crazy thing. And the attention it takes to keep yourself in a place where you can hear God and not let that junk take over is more energy than most of us put in, including this one, okay? But the first thing is realizing. The first thing is realizing that we probably can't weave together the story or the situation. And we probably ought to understand that we can't. And we probably ought to understand that our job is to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart. Put Him first. And then He said something about our neighbor. He said, love our neighbor as thyself. And if we can spend the rest of our years, whether it be 10, 20, 50, or 100, trying to perfect those two things, we'll be a lot better off. If we can spend our time trying to make other people win, God will give us our peace. But spend our time and our focus for the right reasons, just trying to help other people win and taking no credit for it. I think God would honor that. That's all I got. Thank you, guys.